Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, who was chosen by Jesus, but he was the one who betrayed him, who gave him over to the Jews. And Judas had gone to them and said, "How much will you give me? And I will hand him over to you, or betray him." And they agreed, and they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And it seems impossible that somebody for just some money, for just some pieces of silver, would betray Jesus. So when you betray somebody, it's when they trust you and you're their friend, and then you turn round and you become their enemy and get them in huge trouble. Well, if ever that's happened to you, that's what happened to Jesus. And because he had our nature, he knows exactly how we feel when that happens, because he went through all this with Judas. So shortly before he died, Jesus gathered the disciples together and he said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man..." Now, who's the Son of Man?
Jesus,
that's right. "And the Son of Man is to be betrayed and crucified," killed on the cross. "Then the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people assembled together in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they discussed how they might take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." Then one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said to them, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" When the chief priests heard him, they were very happy, and they agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, Judas looked out for an opportunity when the crowd would be absent, when he might hand Jesus over. On the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed, Jesus sent 2 of his disciples, saying, "Go into the city and prepare the Passover feast so that we may eat." But the disciples asked him, "Where are we to prepare it?" And Jesus told them, "When you come into the city, you're going to meet a man carrying a large pitcher of water." Now, that was unusual, because that was usually women who carried water.
Why was it always women?
Well, that's what they did in those days, and it's the same in various parts of the world today. But among the Christians, what was unusual was that a man did a woman's work. The Christians didn't just leave it to the women to do that sort of hard work. So Jesus said, "When you meet this man carrying a pitcher of water," that's something that's going to stand out, "follow him into the house he enters into and say to the owner of the house, 'The master says, where is the guest chamber where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large room. There you are to make ready." And they went and they found it, just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the evening came, Jesus sat down with the 12 and said to them, "I have so greatly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it into pieces and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this represents my body, which is being given for you. Do this in memory of me." So then, when Jesus comes again, he is going to break bread with us again in the kingdom. And we're even told that he will come forth and serve us. So when we break bread, that is what we're going to do when he comes again. Well, after they'd eaten, he took the cup of wine and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink all of it, for this is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Share it amongst yourselves. I tell you, I won't drink again from the fruit of the vine until I drink it fresh with you in my Father's kingdom." So then, he imagined that he's going to literally eat and drink with us in his kingdom. After the supper was finished, Jesus got up from the table, took his clothes off, and just fastened a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which was wrapped around himself. When he came to Peter, and it was Peter's turn, Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus replied and said to him, what I'm doing you don't understand now, but you will understand later. No, Peter said, you shall never ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you've got no part in me. So Peter then said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him in reply, he who has been washed only needs to wash his feet to be clean all over. And you are clean, but not all of you. Jesus said that, not all of you, because he knew that Judas was going to betray him. After he had washed their feet, which was the job of the lowest servant, he said to them, do you realize what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and indeed I am. But if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just what I have done to you. Then he said, I don't speak about all of you, because I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture says in the Old Testament, he who has eaten his bread with me has lifted up his heel against me, to hit Jesus on the head. When Jesus had said that, he was really upset, and he said, truly, I tell you that one of you is going to betray me. The disciples looked at one another, not knowing who he was talking about. Now, close beside Jesus at the table was one of the disciples, whom Jesus loved. Peter therefore beckoned to the disciple that he should ask who it was of whom Jesus spoke. He leant towards Jesus and said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus replied, it's he to whom I gave a piece of bread after I dipped it in the bowl. And after he dipped the bread, he'd given it to Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Then Jesus said to Judas, what you're going to do, do quickly. But nobody at the table knew why Jesus had said this to him. Some of them thought, since Judas looked after the money, that Jesus had told him to go and buy something that was necessary for the feast or to give something to the poor. Having received the bread, Judas went out, and it was night. So then, what that shows is that you really don't know who are sincere disciples, sincere Christians, because even right at the end there, they didn't realize that it was Judas. They thought, oh, he's gone out to buy, he's gone out to do something good for the poor. So then, some of those are who are Christians are going to deny Jesus, unfortunately. Now later on, when Judas, who betrayed Jesus, when he saw that Jesus was condemned and was going to die, he changed his mind and he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priests and elders of the Jews and said, I've committed a great sin. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said to him, what is that to us? That's your problem. That's the problem. Bad people will encourage you to do bad things. And then when things go wrong and you come back to them, they just shrug and say, well, that's your problem. He threw down the piece of silver in the temple and went out and hanged himself. They used the money that he'd thrown down in the temple to buy the potter's field to bury strangers in, and it's called the Field of Blood until this day. So when he threw those pieces of silver down in the temple, he must have thought, that's just all I did it for, just bits of metal. He would have thought about all the things he could buy with it, but he just threw it down in disgust, thinking, well, that's what I've sacrificed my chance of everlasting life for, and that's what I've done. That's the money I took to get Jesus killed. Now, how awful. And unfortunately, in the last day, it's going to be like that. That people are going to realize that they're not going to be in God's kingdom because they wanted money. And they're going to see it then as just bits of silver. And you can understand how he threw it down in disgust with himself. So we've got to be strong and realize that it's not all about money, it's not all about wealth, it's not all about having a great life, and that we are all tempted to be like Judas and to give up everlasting life and to give up Jesus for the sake of just bits of money.